Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
All he ever wanted to do was live amongst his children and be their king. I gave thee a king in mine anger, and took him away in my wrath. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up, his sin is hid. The sorrows of a travailing woman shall come upon him. He is an unwise son, for he should not stay long in the place of the breaking forth of children. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. In the midst of the forecast of doom and gloom on Israel, God throws in the salvation of the Savior that is coming. He never wanted his children to get into this predicament. It all happened in the garden. It isn't so much the children that came out of Egypt that caused all this. It happened when Adam decided he would disobey God. And in order to redeem the Adamic line, the priest line, because there were two lines of humans in this world, three. There was the first set that was made on the sixth day. It's right here in black and white, Christian. Oh, this guy's crazy, Jonathan. Let's go burn down the studio.
It's like you said, it's written right here.
On the sixth day, God created them male and female and told them to replenish the earth because he had previously flooded it and killed everyone eons earlier. That's why we have fossils. And yes, the dinosaurs were in the previous earth. There were none on the boat with Noah. I assure you there was not, okay? It's all here. Book of Job is a reflection of the first earth. It says right there in Job 40, the behemoth with tail like a cedar tree that I made with you. The Bible in its totality, when you understand it, goes hand in hand with science. If Satan would lose that grip, he would lose a lot of his children.
Oh, yeah.
Because right now he has their minds, their sophisticated, humanly educated minds, following the science. We all know where following the science got us with the little plague of the common cold that came around.
Right.
Now we have thousands upon thousands dying because they follow the science.
Yes.
And yes, just take this one shot followed by 75 boosters.
Yep.
And you will still get the virus, but it probably won't be as bad.
Take care of yourself better because you'll have an extra arm growing out of your back.
Yes, there you go. You'll be able to scratch your own back with that third arm that grows. That wouldn't be a bad thing.
Right.
But right in the midst of the predictions of doom and gloom. Oh, let me get back to you. Yes. The first earth, if you read the book in its totality, those fossils are thousands and thousands of years old. But the Adamic line has only been here 8,000 or 9,000 years. It all fits so tightly together. And it fits with all of the archaeology that's found that they try to cover up. All of these modern things, that thing that was found in the Mediterranean with precision gears like you would find in one of the most expensive watches of the last century. You know, they don't make watches. Well, Rolex may still make the sophisticated little mechanical watches now. But this thing had such precise, intricate mechanics that it wasn't possible before 75 years ago. It was all there, and it was embedded in rock thousands of years old.
I mean, they had perpetual motion machines.
Yes.
And stuff.
Oh, yeah. There was electricity, all that stuff. You think the Great Pyramid is, he's a conspiracy theorist. No. Tesla knew what it was. You think he modeled his tower after.
And all the pyramids all around the earth, like you said.
Yes.
Yeah.
If they wouldn't have silenced Tesla, you wouldn't have an electric bill today. Mm-hmm. He was moments away from creating free electricity for everyone. But the rich fat cats of the day, they couldn't have that. The almighty dollar, greed, has caused so many to suffer in this world. But when Christ comes, after the final battle. For 1,000 years, this world will be under a righteous king in its state of sophistication as it is now. Well, it will be pulling itself out of the rubble of a final battle. But the technology will be. Can you imagine, Jonathan, where we're going to go in 1,000 years from where we are now?
Yeah, because I mean, I look at where we came from 1980 till now.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Insane. Like, internet.
And you won't have the obstacles of greed and corporate greed and wars and nation warring against nation. It will be united under a righteous king. There'll be no limit to humanity's mind at that time.
Technology is used for the benefit of mankind, not used for the destruction of mankind.
Yes. And that's the only thing that has made technological advances in the last hundreds of years is the destruction of mankind.
Yes, sir.
Every time we get into a new war, technology goes leaps and bounds forward. Mm-hmm. You're right. So right here in 14, in the midst of all of this doom and gloom, this prophetic grievance that God has, that what he's going to do to his children because they worship other gods, he says, but one day the Savior will come. Number 14, I will ransom them from the power of the grave, because when you died under the law, you went to hell and you were placed in paradise. Satan had the keys to the gate. You're separated from God. Sure, they say it's a nice place, but they also say that the Spirit came from God and will not find peace until it returns to God. So, is it okay to be in a nice place, but the peace in your heart is still not there? No. I feel that here on this place. So you're separated from God. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will pay the price to get you out of hell. Jesus paid the price. That's who they're talking about right here. I will redeem them from death. Yes. Because carnal death is why your spirit ended up in paradise in hell. The law ends in separation from God and death. Bondage, death, and separation from God. I will redeem them from death. See, through Christ, the spirit is not in death. It's considered to be in death. Separation from God is spiritual death. So in hell, in paradise, they are in the midst of spiritual death because they are separated from God. The spirit will not die. It cannot die. But spiritual death is separation from God. I will redeem them from spiritual death by uniting them with God, by paying the price. O death, I will be thy plagues. Ooh. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Yes, the grave can no longer hold you down. There is no victory for Satan in death anymore. Not since he murdered Christ. He didn't think that one through very much. The law of God is unbending. God's law says, thou shalt not kill. Does it say that, Jonathan?
I don't know.
Thou shalt not murder. Yeah. That's a misinterpretation in the English Bible.
Yeah.
You can kill many things. God says to kill this guy for this reason, this guy for that reason. Killing is an essential part of life. But he says that if someone is innocent of the law, he shall live forever. Adam should have lived forever until he broke the law. God's law, disobedience. And that's all it is, disobedience. So an innocent man cannot be killed righteously. I can kill a prisoner that's been ordered, executed righteously under the law. But if the man is innocent and I put him to death, I will suffer the same fate in his place spiritually. So when Satan orchestrated God, Jesus, hanging on that cross, he didn't think it through very well, because he had all the religious zealots at the time saying, this man is guilty of the law. He has broken the law. He worked on the Sabbath. He worked on the Sabbath. I saw him. He healed that man. I seen him eating an ear of corn, picking an ear of corn and eating it on the Sabbath. Yes, Christ did do that. But we have dissected this Bible to such a point that it says if your heart follows after God, 100%, which Christ's heart did, it trumps the law completely. The law is of no avail if the heart is pure. Can your heart be that pure? I don't think so. Mine can't. So we need the forgiveness of Christ. Christ didn't need the forgiveness of Christ. He had the 100% obeyance to God with his heart. Therefore, no, he did not defy the Sabbath, because the Sabbath had no power over him. The law had no power over him. But the religion of the time said he's guilty. He can die. He can die, not, and it won't be murder. But it was. And Satan knew it the moment that Christ died. Because his demons would normally go lay hold of the spirit man on the cross and take them to hell. And they would be determined by God whether they go into hell or they go into paradise. The thing is, those demons took hold of them and took them there. That didn't happen when Christ died. They came for him, and they found an eerie presence there that they could not overcome. And they walked behind him as he went forward. And the gates of hell broke open. And he walked up to Satan sitting on his throne. Satan began to tremble and shake. Christ hadn't even said anything yet. It was all the spiritual presence. And then Satan fell off his throne onto the ground, bowing before him, and delivered to him the keys, the power of death and hell. The Bible says Christ preached to those in paradise for 2 days because they were awaiting the Messiah. But they still had a choice to make. They had to understand the sacrifice. They had to understand the first covenant which Christ had restored. Follow me with all your heart and be baptized. They couldn't, from just living under the law all those years and then dying and going to paradise, they still couldn't understand. They didn't have universal knowledge that you get when you enter God's kingdom, because they were in hell, in paradise. It says he preached to them for 2 days, and then he arose. You know, there are over 500 sightings, and these are other writings, not just the Bible. 500 sightings of people recognized as people who had died in Jerusalem and Judea the day of the resurrection of Christ. The graves broke forth.
They weren't all just Jews.
No. We see that in the Old Testament. Yep. It was never God's only people, his chosen people. Right. He says all people.
Right. Like the parable where he's inviting everybody to the supper and everybody's making excuses. And he's like, you know what? Just go out there and find whoever. Bring him in.
Yeah. The best don't want to come. Yeah. Go get all the common.
Yep.
God was never about excluding anyone. This book says that over and over and over again. So Christ took the power of death and hell. That's what he's telling him right here. I will be thy destruction, O grave. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. Though he be fruitful among his brethren, an east wind shall come. The wind of the Lord shall come up from the wilderness, and his spring shall become dry, and his fountain shall be dried up. He shall spoil the treasure of all pleasant vessels. Samaria shall become desolate, for she hath rebelled against her God. They shall fall by the sword. Their infants shall be dashed in pieces, and their women with child shall be ripped up. Oh, that's so sad. God is such a mean God, Jonathan. You know what? Mothers and fathers, put God last in your life and see where that gets your children. I will curse those of the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Pay me no obeyance. This is the creator of all things, the creator of the body that you're living in. And you don't give him any accolades for doing it?
I follow the science. The science says my great-great-grandfather was a chimpanzee.
I mean, we don't have the, we got the missing link here, but you know, we don't have the missing link.
Yeah, but it's a little murky there for a second, but yeah. Really, go tell God that. Chapter 14, Book of Hosea. O Israel, return unto thy Lord, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. It's never too late. Come back. Take with your words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take all away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips, the offerings of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. God is planning a great revival. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under the shadow shall return. They shall receive, revive as the corn, and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things, prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. 8 and 9, the last two verses of Hosea. There is always salvation with repentance, and it's never too late. God says even after the final battle, during the great tribulation, there'll be several months of reflection time for those of the flesh that are still alive to reflect on just what has happened here. Who is this almighty God? And wow, he sure got rid of this Antichrist and all of his armies. Maybe we should try to figure out who he is. The problem is, at that point, there won't be anyone here to tell them who he is. They're going to have to come about that through their own heart, which there is a seed in everyone's heart. Because God says, I knew you before I placed you in the womb. You know, the birth experience and the ignorance of childhood cast a covering over the knowledge that your spirit had. Because if you came into this world with full knowledge, you wouldn't make a choice. You would know God is the only choice. You have to become innocent in the flesh, grow in ignorance, and find your way back to God. That's what this flesh experience that you're in the midst of is all about. Oh, you thought it was about creating the greatest empire that your flesh could build? Just do it because you only go around once? No. You're getting ready to go around for the real time, and it's going to last forever. And how that's going to be depends on what you do with this temporary little mission you're on right here. Can you find your way back to the Creator? And he made it so easy. He's placed it here. Jesus Christ came. There is no book on record that has been printed for so many years and tells a story of love thy neighbor and the Lord thy God above all else. There's another counterfeit book out there that says, give the word to the infidel and the Jew, and if they don't accept it, chop their heads off. Nothing like this in the Bible. Sure, there's lots of killing and going on in the Bible, but you have to understand. There were two babies in Eve's womb with two different fathers, the seed of the serpent and the Adamic line. They are diametrically opposed. We are in a spiritual war from that day in the garden until now. God said when he brought him into Canaan, remove the inhabitants of Canaan. You know, he had been working with those people. The Bible's very clear on that. But they have gotten to a point because they are so full of the seed of the serpent that they absolutely refuse anything to do with the living God. He said, remove them by any means, because they are no longer of any value to this world, because if they remain in this world, they will only bring darkness and destruction. Oh, but they're people too. No. Why do we put serial killers in prison? Because they're full of hatred and darkness and destruction. Yes, they're people too, but they're full of the seed of the serpent. The seed of the serpent rebels against anything good, against anything moral, against anything light. We all have a little bit of it in us now, because the children of Israel disobeyed God and would not remove the inhabitants of Canaan. They wanted to have babies with them. Oh, let's keep them for servants.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know that little servant I got, she'd make a mighty nice little concubine. 10 babies later, what did God say about having kids with these people? The end of the story is it's never too late until it's too late. When your eyes close in death, then it's too late. You will have committed the unpardonable sin. Going through this testing period and not finding your way back to the living God. Christ made it so easy. All you have to do is look to Him. Been good to be with you here on WBFF 97.7 with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, and we'll catch you in the book of Joel next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan, exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.